Welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. These are conversations with Grand Valley State University film and video graduates about the industry, the film video major, and alumni profiles.
Hello and welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. My name is Katie Dean and I'm your host today. I am a 2006 GVSU film graduate and I am joined today by a 2007 graduate, Jill Spesky. Jill has worked on several projects in film and television, including Bel Air, How to Get Away with Murder, and Whose Line Is It Anyway? Jill also hosts the Blue Revised podcast, where she talks to professionals in the film and television industry about how they got their start and how they got work. Blue Revised provides resume, cover letter, and interview consulting specifically for the motion picture and television industry. You can check out Blue Revised at bluerevised.com. And you can also find Jill Spesky at IMDb. We will have links to those both in our show notes. Now, today is a very sensitive topic, yet necessary to cover for those that desire to work and thrive in the film and television industry. That topic is sexual harassment. Thank you for joining us, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Jill, I mean, we'll just dive right in. Why don't you share with us some experience you've had on sets?
Okay. So full disclosure here, I'm not an attorney, nor do I work in human resources. I am a film and television professional with experience working for different studios, different networks. I'm also a member of IATSE, which is the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Moving Picture Technicians, Artists, and Allied Craft. And IATSE members are required to take harassment prevention training separate from the individual studio and network training. Like you said, Katie, I do feel since the Me Too movement has been more acknowledgement to harassment and discrimination on set. And I do notice that studios and networks are taking strides to help prevent that. I've noticed more and more harassment prevention training when I'm working on shows. It usually happens at the beginning of every project or every movie. So when you start a project, no matter what the network is or the studio, every studio network has a harassment prevention system in place. Mostly now it's all on Zoom, and these are mandatory training. Have a legal rep who works for the studio or the network available, and they go through different types of harassment, what to look for, and they go through the producer policy and procedures on how to report the behavior. Even if you're just a witness to it, there's ways to report it. It doesn't have to necessarily happen to you, but if you witness something that is harassment or discrimination, there are steps to take to report it.
And what are some of those sexual harassment things that you've witnessed or that people on set should keep an eye out for, especially if they would like to help and report?
Any sort of unwelcome physical touching, unwelcome comments regarding appearance, physical appearance in a sexual nature. You could also look out for any sort of discrimination on race, gender identity, religious background, any of those situations. The legal team for the studios and networks kind of walk you through what to look out for. And then if you're in a supervisor role, meaning if you oversee other crew members, there is additional training for department head.
That's great that they're taking it more seriously and making sure there's extra training. And since you have been in those supervisor roles, have you had to report or experienced a situation where you had to report for someone else or get a report from somebody?
Sure. So there's no official way to report harassment. You don't go to your supervisor and be like, I would like to make a claim, or I would like to report this. I want this to go on record. Anytime someone's feeling uncomfortable with a situation that's happened to them or that they've witnessed, if they come to a department head, it's up to the department head or their supervisor to then follow the steps to report it properly. So human resources is aware of the situation. Even if they ask you not to say anything, if you're in a position of a supervisor or a department head, you are obligated by the company to then report it.
Well, that's good to know if you are new on set and you're talking it through. that they can't necessarily keep secrets for you if you're talking to a supervisor.
Right. Because if you're a supervisor and you don't report something that was told to you, that prevents the furtherance of that situation. It could keep going. It could snowball into something worse. It could happen to other people. You want to protect people that are involved. So it feels weird. It feels like you're kind of tattling on someone, but it's the right thing to do. Even if you personally feel it's not anything offensive to you, it's offensive to somebody else, and you still report it. You're not supposed to be the filter for that type of behavior. As a supervisor, you're supposed to report.
But beyond reporting, there's also the idea of documentation, of keeping record of these situations happening in case you do need to bring it forward. What kind of documentation should people keep in mind when they are in those types of situations?
So by documenting the situation, I don't mean like record it with your phone. Jot notes to yourself. If you overhear something or something is said to you and you're like, huh, I feel like that was harassment or discrimination, jot it to yourself, notes in your phone, make sure to indicate the date, where you were, who said it to you, what was said, who was in the area of when this communication or touching happened, and just keep a list for yourself. You can send an email to a friend who's not on the show. That way there's documentation out there. And even if there's harassment or discrimination happening via email or text message, if you're receiving unwanted messages, screen grab those on your phone, screen grab them on your computer, save them somewhere. Make sure when you do screen grab it, it's very clear who the communication is coming from, and include the date if you can timestamp it, or include the time in the message. And then send it to a friend, save it somewhere safe. Sometimes we're given computers to use that belong to the studio. If you're not comfortable with saving it to your network computer, just save it to an email address that's not attached to the project. That way it's somewhere else. So if you need to access it, it's safe somewhere.
Gotcha. Let's walk through how you report harassment. So it looks like one of your first steps is to tell your direct supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then speaking to a unit production manager or a production supervisor, or you could go directly to HR. That's available.
Yeah. So there's three different options, and the networks and studios all have very similar steps. If you're not a department head and you're not comfortable going to a unit production manager or production supervisor, or if the issue is with one of those individuals, you can go directly to your supervisor, and then your supervisor has to follow the steps to report. In my opinion, I suggest going directly to human resources. If you're not okay with going to your direct supervisor or unit production manager or production supervisor, this gives you a direct communication. So you establish a direct line of communication. What's going to happen? So say you call human resources and you report harassment or discrimination. What they're going to do is they're going to launch an investigation. And the investigation is they're going to gather as much information from you. And if you have evidence where you took notes of instances, screen grabbed inappropriate text messages or email, you can send those directly to HR. And then they will investigate the situation and you remain anonymous. So if it's an issue with someone within your department, they interview other people in the department, and then they go to that person and they don't say, oh, well, we got a complaint from HR from so-and-so in your department. They don't do that at all. So they investigate it. Depending on the situation, it takes a little bit of time and you're expected to just keep working while they investigate. And then they call you back with information like, hey, we conducted our investigation. The behavior should be better at this point. If not, please give us a call, or if you feel like you're being retaliated against. So when they open an investigation, they talk to people who are in the room. If you include that in your notes, they talk to other higher ups, production supervisors and production managers. You're still anonymous, just to get more information regarding the situation. And then they will make a determination with the company policies, whether this person can continue to work if they agree to change their behavior or if the offense was so severe that they need to leave the project.
So staying anonymous seems to help with the idea that there's a lot of fear surrounding reporting, but I think that fear still is out there. There's, you know, always the threat of losing your job if you complain. Is this something that studios are addressing by keeping you anonymous, or is there other things that you're doing to protect people who report?
So say you're reporting on behalf of somebody else, you do have to tell human resources who did come to you in their position. And you have to remember, human resources, they're not with us in the production offices or on set. They are based somewhere else. So they're kind of doing a little bit of forensics, figuring out what your position is and who you report to and the dynamic within the departments, how many people and what do these people do? But if someone's coming to me, somebody who works for me, I do have to disclose that to human resources who that person is.
Now, do you feel comfortable sharing any of your personal experiences? Obviously leaving names off of it, but anything you'd like to share that you learned from?
Sure. It's difficult because you're just trying to, you know, work's hard enough. And then when you get in there with people who are even hostile or inappropriate in a sexual way, or they're discriminating against different people, it's, hey, we just want to, you know, we just want to make a show. We just want to make a movie. And it's that kind of dread where you're like, oh my gosh, you feel like you have to tattle on another adult. And it's not a good feeling, but it's your job, because if you don't report it, this behavior is going to continue, right? And I've been, you know, I've worked with so many different people, and people have so many different viewpoints. They come from different times. And it's like, if you know them well enough, sometimes you can be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't say that anymore. You know, come on, it's 2022. Let's not say that. But yes, there have unfortunately instances where I see something or something is said to me and I have to report it, whether if it's inappropriate touching, like seeing somebody touch a female art PA on the backside or something like that in an open office, and it's a work relationship. It's not anything more than that. You feel this dread when you have to report something, but you're doing the right thing.
And you've been in the industry for a little while now. Have you seen improvement through the years then? Has your experience changed?
Definitely. So when I first started, we didn't have mandatory HR meetings. And as the years gone on, and with the help of the Me Too movement, there's mandatory meetings on every show. And then as a member of IATSE, you have separate mandatory training, which works as almost like an insurance policy. So if you're hiring an IATSE member, this member has been through harassment prevention training. And I think there's more awareness, there's more acknowledgement on the behalf of the studios of this behavior. However, it still does happen, and you just have to know how to report it. I wanted to mention as well, on your crew list, which is your paperwork for everybody that's working on the show, it will have information regarding for the network and the studio. And there will be a human resource rep listed on that. So you're not quite sure who to call, get your crew list. I think they even put it on the call sheets now, which is your daily schedule for what you're filming. HR departments are listed on there, as well as safety hotline. So if you see anything unsafe, you can call the safety hotline listed on the call sheet. I just wanted to bring up that, remember, these human resource departments, they work for the studios, they work for the networks. So they are there to protect the company. Yes, they can help with preventing behaviors, but it doesn't stop there. If you feel like the situation wasn't handled properly, you are allowed to seek outside counsel. The network just has their HR department in place so they don't get sued for having an inappropriate crew member or providing a hostile work environment. They put all these systems in place to help prevent that. But unfortunately, sometimes it still happens. But yeah, you can always keep that documentation to share with a labor attorney, a lawyer, if you feel like the situation wasn't resolved properly.
That's a really great point. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Now, we do talk about allies at times too, because there are men on set who have their own role in all of this. And do you have any suggestions for young men coming up, how they can create an environment that is safer for all people to work in? I guess my point is, it's not just a female issue, and it's not just females that are going to correct this issue. It
right.
needs to be everyone coming into the industry as a team to make this a better industry to work in.
That's a really good point. I would say, I think for men, especially if they're a department head overseeing crew members, and there's some cracks out there that are male-dominated departments. For example, grip and electric departments. I see a lot of men in those departments. And I would say for those department heads, the key grip and the gaffer or the chief lighting technician, if you hear your crew saying something about a production assistant walking by or your makeup team, pull them aside and make sure it stops right there and it doesn't continue.
So when you're on set and you have a sexual harassment issue, you don't necessarily want to gossip about it. So who should you talk to? Who should you not talk to? You want to keep it professional, right?
Right. Yeah. You don't want to create gossip, rumors. That's only going to make the situation worse. So depending on your position on set, say you're a production assistant, I would go directly to my second assistant director. Or if you're not comfortable with that, you can go directly to the unit production manager or the production supervisor, because sometimes we do have an individual might have an issue with their direct supervisor. In this situation, if you're a set PA, your direct supervisor is the second assistant director. If you have an issue, you can go to somebody else in a higher position. Or if you're feeling comfortable, you can call human resources or email them. Sometimes it's easier and less stressful. Type the situation out and send it via email and get somebody on the phone.
Is there a similar system set up for independent sets who don't necessarily have a studio back end directly?
With independent films or non-union sets, there is a production company, an entity for the production. So you can check with the production company regarding their policies and procedures regarding reporting for harassment. That company that's overseeing the production, they might have a third-party human resources department, and that information should be available to all the crew members.
That's really interesting. So another topic that comes up a lot is the emotional barriers to reporting. You're scared or you're afraid you're going to lose your job. Do you have any insight on that?
Sure. When you witness something, whether it's sexual harassment, discrimination, you have to process it and then you have to take action. And it's so difficult to do. It's this dread that comes with what you just experienced. Was it really that bad? Should I say something? Am I going to ruin this person's life? Am I going to ruin this person's career? Are they going to know it's me who reported it? You go through all these different emotions about it. And then say you put it off and then it happens again. And you're like, shoot, I should have said something when it initially happened. So yeah, it's hard to get to that place to reporting it. I have a friend who was working on set and one of her supervisors said something to her. And because she's in work mode, right? She just, things kind of just go over her head. She called me and she's like, hey, is this harassment? You know, because sometimes you're like, whoa, that comment really irked me, but I don't know why, because I'm in work mode. We talked about it. Yes, it was an inappropriate comment made against her disability. So I had to kind of like help her, like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to call the HR department or you're going to email them and like, what studio is it? What network is it? I'll help you find the email addresses and the contact information because you've on set. It's this huge process. And I would recommend not talking to anyone directly in your department about it. I would phone a friend. And it took her a couple days to actually make the move to call or to email because it's still processing. And you're like, was it really that bad? Or like, maybe I can't take a joke, or am I going to hurt this person's career by reporting it?
Which is another good reason to take notes, because I don't remember what I wore 2 days ago.
Right.
The exact phrasing that was used. Yeah. So even if you're not sure you're going to report it, and it's good to take those notes for your own memory.
And we are protected under federal law against retaliation. Even if you do report inappropriate behavior, it's illegal for that person to retaliate in any way.
That is really good to know. Now, Jill, this is not just a female issue. This is an all people, all gender issue, non-binary, men, women. Is there any experience you've had where other genders have dealt with sexual harassment as well?
Yes, I've worked with two individuals. One was inappropriately touched by a female cast member. And then on a separate show, I had a coworker approach me about inappropriate comments made towards his physical appearance by a female department head. And our non-binary friends too experience this as well. The studios are taking a lot of steps, but unfortunately, it's still happening.
What last piece of advice do you have for these new students that will be graduating soon and hopefully will be on a set and starting to live out their dream careers?
Sorry to be a bummer about the podcast. And it's not everybody's favorite subject about Hollywood, but it is important. I really wish that I knew about these steps prior to me starting in the industry, because I feel like that would have solved a lot of problems for me, because a lot of things I saw and things that happened to me, I just kind of like put my hands up and I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is how it is. It's not how it is. Everybody is entitled to a safe and healthy work environment. So I would say, on the projects you're starting now, get in the mindset of creating what a healthy work environment looks to you and making everyone feel comfortable on set. And if somebody said something or do something, especially on a student project, pull them aside and say, hey, let's not do that. Because sometimes people don't know what they're doing, or they didn't intend to make this person uncomfortable. Yeah, I would say, get in the mindset of creating healthy work environments on your student projects now. So when you get to your dream set or your dream production office, you know what a healthy work environment looks like.
You can take some of what Jill has said too, as far as reporting goes. If you have an issue on campus as a student, reporting to your faculty member, and they can kind of take it up the ladder that way as well. So you do have support on Grand Valley's campus as well. Thank you so much, Jill, for sharing with us all your experience and the things you wish you would have known before you started your career. I think this will be so helpful for those that are about to enter the industry or just started, to be better prepared and feel comfortable with the procedures that are out there. And that I love that idea of starting the healthy set mindset now as a student. So with that, Jill, I just want to, again, thank you so much for joining us from MedCess. And I look forward to the next project you're working on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Alumni Live, the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni across the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations and networking. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you for listening.